Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, I have a friend and colleague. She will go by the name Fringe, and Fringe will be on here to talk about her life, her experiences, her insight. She has had a lot of experiences of the ET variety, the mystical, some would say supernatural variety, but she has that nice balance of being very earthy, grounded, worldly, and having an understanding of what's going on in the surface world, but also an understanding of the, as she calls it, the overlay, the ET control system, the esoterica, which really is a manifestation of this ET ultra-dimensional control system. So without any further ado, Fringe, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hey, good morning, James. Or what time is it by you anyway? It's about noon here, actually.
It's 5:15 a.m. where I'm at.
Oh my goodness, you got up early for this. It's hard to kind of to get our time zones to come together, I guess.
It's the bane of all podcasters from down under, the people that we want to talk to in North America. It's always late in the day, usually, by the time we get up here in the morning, and by the time we get our day started and get rolling, it gets later and later in North America. So we're almost compelled to get our interviews and whatnot in early in the morning, our end. So here we are. I've been looking forward to this chat, Fringe, because you have so much insight about this subject and the exchanges we've had, the correspondence. It brings home once again the importance that we get this information out to not only people like us, but for those so inclined in the wider world. Look, this is what's happening at a deeper sublime level. It's not just crazy bankers with their fiat currency and their central bank digital currency schemes, what have you. There is a non-human Luciferian element behind all this, and we're seeing it play out. So I'd like to know a bit about your background, your voyage of discovery, what brought you to this point and your insight. So please, Fringe, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you for having me, James. I really appreciate what we're going to get into today. I have found myself on some kind of a strange quest, I think some kind of a strange push to get the word out there that these ETs that we're dealing with, we've got the 3D cabal, we've got the 4D cabal behind the scenes and all of that. I'm feeling this very odd urge, and I don't know where it's coming from, to get the word out that these ETs, at least some of these ETs, because I'm not going to say all ETs or what have you, don't have our best interest in mind. There's a very negative agenda unfolding. And I just seem to come across a lot of people who are very much latched on to the idea of the love and light space brothers. Our love and light space brothers are coming to save us. You know, we have disclosure happening now, or what people are expecting to be disclosure. People are just deluded, in my personal opinion, and I know that sounds probably arrogant, and I apologize for that, but it's a fact. People are deluded into thinking these love and light space brothers have our highest good in mind, and they're going to come save us from ourselves, and they're going to save us from climate change, and they're going to save us from World War III, or maybe even some cataclysmic changes that might be happening to the Earth. And they're going to come and save us. They're these higher consciousness beings who only have our highest good in mind. And here we are about to enter into the Cosmic Galactic Federation and all of these things that I hear about every day. And I'm just here to say, consider that that might not be true. Definitely not been my experience. So I am 54 years old. I was a police officer for almost 20 years. I've been married for 25 years. My husband was also a police officer for about 30 years. So we do have a lot of life experience. We're the kind of people other people come to for advice. You know, if someone needs something, they come to us. And we're very stable. We're very logical. We're very analytical. I was a detective for years. I even investigated dirty cops for years. But we were undercover for years. You know, so we've got a lot of experience and just regular life experience. And then I end up having hundreds of conscious experiences of abductions. And so, I try to get out there and I try to tell people, hey, this is what's really going on. And it took me a while to realize that not everybody's having these experiences. Number one, apparently it's pretty fairly unusual, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you do the research, fairly unusual to have conscious memories of abductions, to become lucid and to become conscious and to kind of come back with memories, I guess is unusual. So when I started kind of piecing together what was going on and realizing what was happening, it took me quite a while in some research and reading some books and talking to people like you to realize most people, I guess, don't come back with conscious memories. And so it gets categorized as a dream or, you know, something that's from the subconscious, something karmic possibly working out, maybe archetype dreams, you know, stuff like that. And I did have to investigate that road. You know, I had to say to myself, okay, self, what is actually happening? Do some investigation, figure out what's going on. But what ended up actually happening was I found that the most ridiculous, ludicrous things that were happening during these abductions were actually noted in the research. To back up a little bit, it was in about 2020. My husband and I had both retired from law enforcement. We were living in a beautiful bedroom community in Southern California, living our best life, had family all around. You know, we were very close family. And all of a sudden, in the spring of 2021, we just sold our house and left Southern California, and we moved to the Pacific Northwest. Now, this was very, very unexpected, very, very strange move, just very out of the blue. Never in my wildest dreams would you have told me that I would leave Southern California. But we were retired. We moved away from our family. We moved out of the area. And suddenly there was really nothing going on and not a lot to do. And I started thinking, I used to lucid dream and I used to go out of my body a lot. And I used to, you know, have all these experiences, which we probably will get into later. And suddenly that's not happening. And I started kind of investigating. I wonder how I could get that back. I wonder what I could do. And the very first thing I came across was, oh, in order to get back in, kind of into that, it's the first thing you should do is write down your dreams. So I started writing down my dreams. Now, I've never written down my dreams before. I had always remembered my dreams. I always lucid dreamed, you know, I've been out of body a lot. So I could be very conscious in my dreams, but I'd never written them down. I always looked at dreams as something like the subconscious working things out. And then a lot of my dreams were precognitive. And so they usually either fell into one of those two categories. And I didn't think about dreams at all. Never in my wildest dreams. I had never heard of the 4D cabal. I didn't know about hyperdimensional entities. I had no idea about aliens. I didn't know about any of that stuff. I had seen things here and there as an adult. I think we watched Phenomenon during COVID and a couple of things like that, but aliens were the furthest thing from my mind. So I start writing down my dreams, and on day two, I don't even want to write down my dream, because it sounds so batshit crazy that I didn't want someone to find my dream journal and think, ooh, she's completely lost her mind. So I start writing down my dreams and they're getting really crazy. And it takes me a minute to realize, well, these don't even feel like dreams. This feels like I'm actually there. These feel a lot more like memories than dreams. But I just kind of continue writing them down. I think what actually happened in hindsight, because a lot of people ask me, you know, what happened? I started playing hemisync frequencies and I started remote viewing. And I think these things actually open up a bridge of communication between the right brain and the left brain. And I think once we can access our subconscious is when everything just kind of comes together. And I do believe that's what happened to me. So I start writing down my dreams and I start looking at them and thinking, what in the world is going on? And that goes on for quite some time. I'm meeting hybrid children. I'm flying spaceships. I'm doing things that, again, they just sound insane. And that all ends up to where I'm just becoming more and more lucid and more and more conscious in my dreams. And I kind of returned to when I was younger. I used to get lucid in almost every dream, 8 out of 10 dreams, I would lucid dream. And so this wasn't unusual, but the content was just shocking to me. Again, I didn't even write it down. Some of my earlier journaling, I don't even write down any details because I'm afraid of somebody finding it someday and calling my sanity into question. So I'm writing down my dreams, and over time I'm getting more lucid and more conscious. And then things get pretty weird. where I realized that I'm in what I now understand are called stage managed dreams. And I feel like I'm getting tested. I feel like I'm in some psychological testing. I'm in psychic school testing. Just all this stuff is happening. And then in about October of last year, the bomb just dropped on me, because this is when I first came across the idea of the 4D cabal, controlling our 3D cabal, and the idea of interdimensional entities, and the idea that entities can actually insert thoughts, that entities are closely related with what we call extraterrestrials and aliens and this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm looking back at my stuff going, oh my gosh. And it kind of just hit me in the gut. You know, when you know something is true, it's almost like you remember, instead of an idea just being fresh, it was the knowing and a punch in the gut and just knowing, oh my gosh, now everything makes complete sense. And so very strange things end up happening. We come across this, me and my husband are out and about. We come across this psychic person we had never met. She starts telling us all kinds of crazy stuff. And then everything kind of just comes together in around October, November of 2022. And I start kind of looking at my, what I consider just conscious memories. And I literally wake up in the ships, or in an, what I perceive as an underground base. I wake up, I see what's going on. And then, I mean, unfortunately, most of the time, they just knock me out. But I end up waking up and knowing what's going on and looking around. And a lot of times I end up fighting back. And I ended up fighting back in the abduction scenarios. I end up fighting back in the stage managed dream scenarios. And basically, I think I was just causing a ruckus and kind of just disrupting the whole thing. Because how this ends, and we can get into any details, you know, as this goes on, but this is just the overall story. As I get into January to about March, I'm really pushing back. I'm in the stage managed dreams, or the virtual reality, I call it, or in an abduction. I'm literally fighting with these hybrids, beating them at their games in their virtual reality. And I think I either got picked up or got picked down the food chain. And I end up with some very extremely negative, demonic abductions. And that kind of sent me into a spiral. Because up until that point, I thought I was a badass. I thought, oh, I see what's going on. I know what's happening. And if I'm going to be kidnapped and I'm going to be taken out of my bed against my will, you're going to have a fight on your hands. And during this time, I also was looking into developing consciousness. And I had said to myself, well, you know, if they're going to rip me out of my bed and I'm going to be in these scenarios, I'm just going to get really good at it. I'm going to get good at beating them at their games. I'm going to get good at whatever this testing is that's happening. I'm going to get good at calling them out. Because if you call them out, a lot of times they'll kind of devolve into their true, what I believe is the true form. So this ends in some very, very negative abductions. This is when I'm reaching out to Tom. I'm talking to Gunther and Laura, and I end up talking to you, which I am still so very grateful for. I end up talking to Evie, and I ended up kind of just trying to make it as difficult as possible for them to abduct me. And so I went from like, bring it, Claire, you know, during the abductions, to, okay, maybe this isn't such a smart idea. Maybe this is not such a good plan. And so I'm now a few months removed from that. I'm now taking every step I possibly can to stop these abductions, to stop the virtual reality, to stop the abductions can be either physical or they can be astral or soul abductions. And then the virtual reality. So I'm now to the point where I do everything I can to stop it. And it's quite a turnaround, but here I am. So every night before I go to bed, I wear a helmet made of Velostat. I play some scalar wave frequencies. I have now surrounded myself with iron, which, by the way, is pretty effective. I use a stopwatch before I go into the shower, before I go into the bathroom, just to kind of try to keep track of time. I have very recently started wearing a Fitbit or an Apple Watch to see if I could track any activity while I'm supposed to be in bed. And I've also added an AirPod, or I'm sorry, an AirTag to my arsenal to see, you know, if I could get an alert if I happen to be taken out of the bed. So I've now gone from rising to the challenge and actually that warrior mentality when it comes to what was happening to, oh yeah, this is not such a great idea. I'm going to actually make it as difficult as I possibly can for them to do the things they do. So that's where I'm at today. Let's see. I've had any number of experiences from flying different types of craft, meeting many hybrid children, meeting other children, children that are not mine at all. I seem to be there to take care of them. A lot of times I'll write down hugging therapy. I'm giving them love. I'm almost babysitting children, which I thought, all these things I thought were very odd until I came across the abduction research. It was actually very helpful to me to come across the abduction research. So right around April or May, I end up joining UFO Twitter. And I end up coming across abduction research. And it was stuff like, I'll have written down, oh, I was at a cocktail party, or I was at the mall, or I was in hugging therapy, or I was in psychic school, and stuff like this. And it all sounds ludicrous. It sounds absolutely ridiculous to any normal person with a normal mind living a normal life that I'm being abducted by aliens and I'm going to the mall, or I'm being abducted by aliens and I'm at a cocktail party. And then what started happening in May, April, whenever that was, is I start coming across Carla Turner's research and David Jacobs' research, and things that I'm experiencing is actually happening to other people. And I'm just thinking, what in the world? How ridiculous does it sound to say I went to a cocktail party? Aliens don't abduct people and take them to a cocktail party. That sounds ridiculous. But here I'm reading David Jacobs, who I believe he had 1,500 to 2,000 abductees he did his research on. And he's coming across other abductees who say they were at a cocktail party. And I start coming across stuff like that, and I just felt so validated. I thought, oh my gosh, the aliens are taking people to cocktail parties. And not only that, there's actually a reason for it. And I start coming up on the change and the negative alienism and all the things that many, many other abductees before me have come out with. And it just really started matching up with all of my experiences. And it got to where I would look at my husband and I'd say, I cannot even make this up. Like, I cannot make up that I was at the mall. And then I later read in David Jacobs' research that abductees are being taken to the mall. And the reason they're being taken to the mall is because abductees are actually training the hybrids on how to function in human society. And so abductees are training hybrids on how to act human. They're born on the ships, they're raised on the ships, they don't have a lot of human contact. And so they're actually being taught by abductees on how to integrate themselves into life on Earth. But now we really get into the crazy zone, right? So I've had all these experiences. Okay, what am I doing flying a spaceship? Does that sound literally ridiculous, right? Oh, I'm flying a spaceship. Several spaceships, in fact. Oh, I've been in the Tic Tac. I've been in the round ships. I've been in the triangle ships. I've learned how to fly the round ship, the triangle ship, and personal hover vehicles. Does that make any sense? Why would an alien teach me how to fly anything? And then I come across the abduction research that says there are many, many other abductees who are also being taught how to fly the craft. And so I start looking back at my life. I started having experiences when I was 3.5 years old. That was my first experience with seeing aliens in my bedroom. I had quite an interesting childhood. And then I started coming across or having a lot of experiences with shadow people, starting when I was about 17. And then throughout my whole adult life, shadow people. I spent a lot of my early adulthood or late teenager to early adulthood being afraid to be by myself. I would stay up all night long, being afraid to sleep at night, you know, afraid of the closet, afraid of under the bed. And, you know, all these things I just kind of thought these were just normal things that happened to normal people. I had a traumatic childhood. I had some physical abuse when I was a kid. And I kind of just just attributed every single thing, the totality of my life, to my traumatic childhood. And then I get into the abductee research again, and I just start reading through and realizing every time I read a book by Carla Turner, it's literally the story of my life. And so that was very validating for me. I've decided I'm to the point where this is not something I have to prove to anyone else. You know, people say, well, where's your proof? Well, you know what? There isn't any. There's no proof. There's no proof. But what I would like to do is just get the message out that these are not our love and light space brothers. There is a negative alien agenda. It appears as though they are creating hybrids in order to seed these hybrids onto the planet and probably take us down from the inside out, is what I think is happening. Potentially, could there ever be a time when they actually show themselves in the skies, you know, a mass disclosure type situation? That's a possibility as well. But I think right now they're just taking us down from the inside out. And that's where I'm at today. I'm happy to talk about any questions or any specific incidents. I've had hundreds of experiences just in the last 2 years, to the point where I actually thought, how can all this stuff actually be happening to one person? I sometimes feel like I'm living in a movie. I do think there's maybe two or three different things going on, just possibly different factions. You know, it doesn't seem like all the same thing, although I am open to the possibility it could be a good cop, bad cop type situation as well. I know a lot of abductees have conscious memories of my lab situations. I have not been able to say to 100% certainty for myself anyway, what could be a my lab, what could be a non-human intelligence, because I do think they're just working together, potentially sometimes just side by side. I seem to deal with a lot of hybrids, and I only see other creatures like the grays, and then I come across these other things that are very, very white, very small and very white, but a lot of hybrids. And then a lot of either humans or hybrids that have come to look very, very human and even act human. There is the demonic faction I was referring to earlier. They seem to be a mixture of, the vibe is very reptilian, and the energy they send me is very reptilian. Their actions are very reptilian, but they look very much like the creatures in the Stranger Things movie or the Stranger Things series. Now, I had never seen Stranger Things. I'd never watched it, but I came across the image and I went, oh my gosh, this is it. This is exactly what they look like underneath their human facade. And then these same beings actually refer to me by a number. And the way they talk to me is very much like, this has been happening for a very long time and you're just now figuring it out, is what's happening with them. I have considered that because they call me by a number, which I don't associate at all with the aliens, so to speak, I've considered that that could be a faction of possibly my labs, but I don't have any conscious memories. Like, I'm in touch with abductees who know 100% that they were involved in the Stargate program or in the Looking Glass program or what have you. Now, when I spoke to Evie, she just said, oh gosh, I wonder what program you're involved with, you know, after she heard some of my specifics. And I haven't figured that out yet. So here I am, alive and well. It was touch and go for a minute when I had to get the Velostat helmet and start taking these extreme measures to stop these abductions. But yeah, I made it out the other side.
And just to clarify, if memory serves, and correct me if I'm wrong, the hemisync method, was that developed by Robert Monroe?
Yeah, it was. And little did I know, I think he actually had some association with the CIA, right? When he was developing that, and then the CIA actually used it for themselves.
Yeah, the Defense Intelligence Agency as well, the Pentagon's in-house multi-service intelligence agency, the DIA, were actually sending some of their operatives to Robert Monroe's educational place, for lack of a better term, to be trained in the hemisync process. And from what little I understand, and right now you're the resident expert as far as this is concerned, the idea behind hemisync is to literally sync up the left side and the right side hemispheres of the brain in order to have a more holistic level of awareness. So you've derived benefit from it, I take it.
Yeah, I think that number one, writing, starting to write down my dreams, and this is what I now recommend to other people. The day I started writing down my dreams, and when I was actually writing down what was happening, was a very significant moment of awareness for me. And these things kind of all happen simultaneously because people ask me, well, what happened? So I've lived a very anomalous life when I look back at my life. I had some very crazy things happening my whole life. But it didn't all come together until right now, which sounds crazy. Well, how is it possible that I got to this age before I put it all together? And apparently, that's actually very common as well. I became retired. My husband retired. We moved away from family. It was right after COVID. A lot of people had a lot of time on their hands and kind of started, I started kind of looking at myself. I've been taking care of others my entire life. And then started thinking, oh, well, what can I do for myself? What can I do to be better and healthier and all this stuff mentally and emotionally and psychologically kind of a thing. And so it all kind of happened at once. I started a remote viewing class. Well, this also syncs up the right and left brains. Now, some will say remote viewing can actually open you up to entities. I believe even the CIA and the military programs have actually come to that conclusion as well. And that's actually little known. Most people don't even want to acknowledge that. So I started the remote viewing. Shortly after that, I did some of the hemisync. And I really wanted to get back to the lucid dreaming and the out-of-body stuff and all the stuff that had gone on my whole life, just thinking, it was fun and it was cool and interesting. And so I took the lucid dreaming class and the out-of-body class. And I didn't learn a lot as far as technique or anything like that at that time, but the hemisync for sure went into it. I do believe, I think it syncs up the right brain and the left brain and just brings us into a different state of awareness. And I think it can be very beneficial, but I think at the same time, a lot of these things, such as remote viewing, even some meditations, a lot of the new age practices can open us up to negative entities. And so when all of this stuff really came together with my very, very negative experiences at the beginning of this year, I stopped everything. I stopped remote viewing. I stopped the hemisync. I stopped any meditations. I stopped any type of psychic work, anything like that, because I wanted to make sure that I was not my opening any doors myself to these negative aspects of what, well, it's all negative, but the extremely negative parts of what was going on. But I do think syncing up our right brain and our left brain and giving us access to the totality or at least more of our brains is actually very beneficial. And so now I've just very recently started listening to a hemisync that doesn't have any, there's no guidance, there's no meditation, there's no narrative at all. It's just a frequency. And so it's just a frequency I listen to syncing up the right and left brain. Since I started wearing the Velostat helmet, I feel more disconnected from myself. I feel less aware, less lucid, less conscious. And I don't know if the Velostat has something to do with that or not, but that's why I recently started back up with the hemisync so that I could start becoming more conscious and more lucid in the dream state. And I think it's important for people to realize, a lot of abductees end up thinking that what's happening to them is a dream. And I think people should start thinking of a dream as just a different state of consciousness. Just like being in the astral realm is just a different state of consciousness. And I think, especially in the Western world, we've really relegated dreams to just, oh, that was just a dream. When really dreams, we could be working out karma, we could be working out shadow, we could be working on many things and even our subconscious mind, we're filing things away, we're categorizing things, we're addressing things at the subconscious level. But not everything that people, that abductees believe are dreams are actually dreams. And I think doing the hemisync can really help our right and our left brain start communicating and make people understand that some of this is just a different state of consciousness. And it can be induced by what we call the aliens.
And the time we got left in this first segment, and thank you, friends, for sharing what you have thus far. It's fascinating and it gets the wheels turning in my head. I mean, there's so many questions that I want to ask, and we can do a deep dive in the member segment. But as far as the change that occurred, where you're progressing along, developing all this insight. And I believe that you brought a lot of this awareness and understanding with you. It was innate to your being. Like you said, you just had to kind of remember, come to a realization that you'd been involved with this all along. What I've observed in myself, in my own story, and in many others that I've spoken to, is when they realize that this is not all love and light, when they realize that there is a nefarious underlying aspect to a lot of the alien visitations and the alien activities, and also when we're developing our abilities, because we go through this, people like you and I, we say, well, because we do our studies, we do our research, we know that remote viewing is real. It's been called many different things over the ages, clairvoyance, what have you. We begin to develop our abilities, and we begin to gain an understanding that there is this nefarious aspect, various aliens, not all of them, but some of them. And they seem to have an interest in us, and their designs seem to be inimical to the survival of the human race. And so what happens oftentimes is we get to that realization where, on the one hand, we're developing our abilities and we're moving along, progressing quite well. And then on the other, we realize that we have the Dr. Carla Turner moment, right? When we realize that, oh, you know, this is not all hunky-dory. And it's at that moment when what Evie and I call the spiritual warfare reprisals kick in, where, okay, we've tried all this other stuff on fringe. Now let's send in the heavies, basically. And the heavies had been there all along. You describe them as feeling very reptilian, a very dark, negative, icky, oppressive energy. And that's the signature of the reptilians, or at least the reptilians and some other negative entities. In the time we got left in this segment, could you tell us a bit about the, what some refer to as star school, more of a new agey bent, those people who refer to it as such, but the kind of training and the kind of schools and some of the themes and topics you were shown, and the setting. Were you in there alone? Were there other quote-unquote students? What did the instructor look like? What were the subjects? So please, Fringe, cut the floor.
I don't always have 100% memory, obviously. I only come away with what I come away with. But, and just for the record, I've never been regressed. This all conscious memories, anything I talk about is just the memories I have. I think it's important also to know that the phenomenon, for lack of a better term, can control our perceptions and it can control our memories. So anything I come away with is, I like to think, look, I wake up and I look around. It's kind of like, I sometimes think it could feel like waking up while you're supposed to be under anesthesia and there's the surgery. You know, maybe you're at the dentist's office and you wake up because laughing gas isn't quite enough. And you wake up with the dentist standing over you, yanking out your tooth, going, what is happening? I'm supposed to be out. So a lot of it is they can control our perception. I think it is multifaceted. I think there's more than one thing going on. But for me, I go to these psychic schools. You know, sometimes I'll just write down, oh, I was in psychic school. Well, what's actually happening at psychic school a lot of times is I'm a lot of times looking at a monitor and things are flashing by. I'm either supposed to know what's flashing by before it flashes by, or there might be a symbol there that I'm supposed to be deciphering and it's supposed to mean a certain thing that I'm supposed to be writing down. Now, what happens during these things is the second I wake up and realize I'm in psychic school, I'm saying, no, I'm not doing this. This is not happening. I'm not participating in your psychic school, and I'm not going to write down what you want me to write down. And so a lot of what I'm doing is pushback. And I'm in these scenarios where it might be a stage managed dream, and I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do A, B, and C and get to the end. And the second I figure out what the problem is, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And so I wake up and find myself going along with the program. And the second I wake up and realize I'm in a program, I stop participating. And then I think maybe that's the actual test. Because I've now gotten to the point where I'm in so much testing that my overall take from the whole thing is them trying to figure out why I'm waking up, why I'm able to push back, and why I'm not going along with it. And so I think the actual test is not necessarily what I perceive the test to be, but rather them experimenting on me and trying to figure out why I'm not going with the program. So I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does. It's they're trying, in earthly psychiatric terms, developing a psych profile on you, why you're resistant to this type of indoctrination, vice these others who willingly go along with it. I was in star school last night and we were teaching us all these neat things about physics and it really advanced
exactly.
superphysics, which we never seem to be able to bring back and apply in our regular life where we can take a patent out on something and develop a longer lasting light bulb or something. It doesn't work that way, right? So a lot of it is also ego activation. Were there efforts at times you felt that they were trying to make you feel like you were this golden child and that you were very special and all that?
Oh, yeah, I went through that too. They made me their queen one day. Now, whether this was some type of demonic ritual or some type of other motivation, the bottom line is they tried to make me feel special. They told me I was their queen and they did a full ceremony with a headdress and I was up on a mountain and there was a crowd underneath me. And so even when I wrote that experience down, I didn't even want to write down that they made me their queen because it sounded so arrogant. But when I looked back at it just a couple of weeks later, I realized, is this just ego? Is this them trying to make me feel special? Like, oh, I'm suddenly the queen. So maybe had more than one purpose, but for sure, one of those purposes was to make me feel special. I think a lot of people think exactly what you said. Oh, I was in psychic school. No, I wake up in psychic school and tell them to F all the way off. So what did I used to do? I don't know. I look back at my life when they were calling me by a number and I realized, oh my gosh, this has been going on my whole life. All of the signs of, I'll just say very briefly, I have some signs of sexual trauma and molestation as a child. And I now look back and I just wonder when I woke up on the medical table with some very horrific things going on. And this thing is calling me by a number. And he's just all matter of fact, like, oh, this is what we do all day, every day. Not only was I being called by a number, but there were other abductees there as well, also being referred to by numbers. And this was just status quo. And I knew in that moment, oh my gosh, I have been here 100 times. This has been going on my whole life. It just was an epiphany. I do wonder, have I just been going along this whole time? This whole time, have I just been the same? A lot of times I look around and the humans on the ships, and sometimes I've been underground at least twice that I remember, they're just walking around like zombies, literally. Sometimes our mouths are even just hanging open. They have no idea what's going on, no clue what's happening. They do whatever they're told. Sometimes they're just walking in a line, one after the other.
I've seen corridors and hospital clinic type settings. Where people they could be variously attired in like hospital smocks, hospital gowns, or just regular night clothes or regular street clothes. And they're in various states, lack of a better term, of zombieism. Some are more aware than others, like yourself, because like I've spoken to some people, they are a rarity. There are some who say, oh no, I remember everything. But like you pointed out, and remember folks, you're listening to a trained detective. I want everyone to remember that Fringe has a background in law enforcement for 20 plus years. So she's trained to be observant and not take everything at face value, which I don't. They try to pull the same stuff on me that they do to everyone else. If we're all told that we're special and we're all told we have a super special mission for the world, well, how special can we be if they tell that to everybody?
I look back on myself and I think, have I been just going along this whole time? Because I know this didn't just start in 2021, whenever that was, 2021. It didn't just start. This has been happening. I've now been in the scenarios where they know who I am, I know who they are, and this has been going on my whole life. And so even though I don't have conscious memories, except for the few that maybe we'll discuss, I now know this has been happening my whole life. Was I one of those zombies? And all of a sudden, I wake up and start pushing back and they just don't even know what to do. And then I end up them studying me and trying to figure out what happened. Maybe she used to go along all the time and now I'm not going along. So I do look back and wonder, was I one of the zombies before 2 years ago? It makes me wonder. It's very possible that I was just always going along.
I think that we have an internal alarm clock that goes off at a certain point in time that maybe in an oversoul sense, maybe in the Bardo state, we decided, okay, I'll start to come to a realization around this time of my life because I need to hold it together up until that time. I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be doing all this stuff. So I could see from an, I'm not saying this is the case, but I can see from an oversoul, we kind of set things up that we come to a realization at a certain point of our role in this, because there's a lot of outward projection. Oh, the ETs are doing this, they're doing that. But yes, but why are they so interested in us? And not in an egotistical sense. If we weren't here, would they be here? So that's one of the things we have to look at. What is it about us that is of such interest to them? And one quick point we'll make, and then and we'll round out this first segment. It's possible. I'm not saying it was the case with you, but I know it was the case with others where once the ego activation had kicked in, and once these people started to develop this, well, they were helped along in this fashion, but developed this really high opinion of themselves. And then they manifested in podcasts and in interviews and on YouTube channels as this kind of new age guru who has a magnetic personality, a magnetic following. And all these people out there that are vulnerable to this type of propaganda, let's say, have been pre-programmed by, in many cases, these very same entities to respond to someone that seems to be saying the right thing, seem to have a resonance within them that people feel a kinship with. But really, it's what Barbara calls the masquerade of angels. And we will see many people. I'm not making a value judgment about them. I'm not saying that they're necessarily bad people. It's just that they're not looking at this from a wider lens perspective the way we're trying to. They could easily have turned me into some kind of new age guru. Maybe even in some alternate reality, there's a counterpart of me doing something like that. Who knows? But anyhow, we've reached the end of the first segment with our guest, Fringe. Thank you so much, Fringe. And we'll really dive into this stuff. And we've been diving into this stuff, but we'll really dive into it in the second segment. And to our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.